podcasts of the WDWNT Network are made possible each and every week by the following fantastic sponsors. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or board the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. You book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort before August 27th for select dates between August 28th and September 24th, 2011. You can get the Disney Dining Plan for free for your entire trip. For more information on this special offer and many, many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Resales DVC is your home for Disney Vacation Club resales. Whether you're buying or selling your part in the Disney Vacation Club, Resales DVC is prepared to walk you step-by-step through the process and make sure your experience is as pleasant as possible. For pricing, availability, and more information, be sure to contact Grandma Jackie and Kin at www.resalesdvc.com or by phone at 866-544-2919 to make your vacation dreams come true.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
Launch us now!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it! I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome. Welcome to our show.
Please welcome your host, Tom Corliss.
Welcome to another edition of the WDWNT podcast. This is episode 197 for June 8th, 2011. On this week's show, we have a huge edition of your Walt Disney World Resort news and rumor report. In this week's report, we discuss new details on the Fantasyland expansion, we talk about the two newest character meet and greets at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and we go in depth with an inside look at Disney's Art of Animation Resort. All this and much more Walt Disney World information and fun awaits you this week on the WDW News Today podcast.
Bridging the gap between you and the world. Here is this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report.
Welcome to this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report. Joining me for the report, Mr. Justin Heyman.
How's it going?
Jason Diffendahl.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Marcy Smith.
Hey, guys.
And Banks Lee.
Hey, everyone.
Oh, Banks is very excited.
It's been a while.
I guess so. Yeah. Not as long as it's been since we've had Anthony on the show. Anyone seen him?
No. Last I saw, he was carrying big boxes.
Yep. Let's begin, shall we? Let's start over at the Magic Kingdom. Our first few pieces of news are about Fantasyland. You know why? Because Star Tours is done, and now that's all we have to talk about for the next year. So let's get started, shall we? First of all, it's funny and sad, yet true.
Yeah.
For a short period of time earlier this week, a little mini site for the Fantasyland expansion went up on the Walt Disney World website. They've had this page. They really updated it recently. And very short period of time, there was a few new pieces of information on this expansion, so I'll read you what they had up on the site since it is no longer available for you to view. First of all, as with any new project from the company, they quote Walt Disney because it makes it okay. And this quote says, "We keep moving forward, opening new doors and doing new things because we're curious, and curiosity keeps leading us down new paths." Then leads into the Fantasyland expansion, which says, "Princesses, dwarfs, beauties, and beasts have all been working past midnight to unveil the grandest expansion of Magic Kingdom theme park ever. Scheduled to begin opening in 2012, here's a glimpse of the future of Fantasyland. Of course, there is the Storybook Circus, where the sound of the calliope will lead you to the brand new carousels of airborne pachyderms on Dumbo the Flying Elephant, now with two Dumbos, although there's probably a lot more of them on those. Before taking to the skies on this Fantasyland favorite, you can experience an array of fun-filled family games and interactive wonders for kids of all ages inside the Big Top. For the Barnstormer, it's hosted by the Great Goofini, the Daredevil roller coaster, which twists and turns high above the Storybook Circus grounds. It's getting a bright new look, it says here. New to us, although it's in the concept art, we kind of saw this coming, is the Casey Jr. Roundhouse, adjacent to the Fantasyland train station. Yep. Now the Fantasyland train station is the Casey Jr. Roundhouse, a circus-themed immersive water play area that's fun for little ones. They'll splish and splash as Casey Jr. billows off cool steam and water squirts from playful monkeys, elephants, and camels. Then, of course, there's Under the Sea Journey of the Little Mermaid. Make a splash with Ariel as you take a voyage into a clamshell into a world of imagination under the sea. This attraction features her friend Sebastian and King Triton and, of course, music from the Walt Disney Pictures film. And Flounder's not her friend. There's also Scuttle's Scavenger Hunt. This is also new to us. While approaching Ariel's Grotto to meet the Little Mermaid, join Scuttle for this fun interactive game. Search the seaside entranceway to find the seagull's treasures from the human world, like a dinglehopper or a bulbous snarfblat, whatever it is. Something like that. And of course, Scuttle will be on hand to help with the hunt. Also, we already knew about these, but there's Enchanted Tales with Belle. There's Be Our Guest Restaurant. There's the Princess Fairy Tale Hall, which now has a very simple description, which is greet Aurora, Cinderella, and Tiana in their new home, an elegant royal court fit for every princess. Looks like it'll just be the three of them now. And, of course, there's the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which says, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work you go. Take a rollicking musical ride through the Seven Dwarfs Mine, where million diamonds shine. The roller coaster features the first-of-its-kind train that responds to every twist and turn of the track. The journey will be accompanied by music from Walt Disney's animated classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs." So, really, the biggest new things, number one, it is the Fantasyland train station. Whether or not that means Storybook Circus is its own land or not, who knows? It's very confusing. But beyond that, we now have confirmation on that Casey Jr. Roundhouse, which sounds like a pretty cool, very well-themed water play area. And the coolest thing in my eyes in all this is Scuttle's Scavenger Hunt, which sounds like a Kim Possible World Showcase Adventure type thing that, in this case, sounds like it might be part of a interactive queue for the meet and greet in the grotto. It's possible, or it could be its own thing. We're really not sure yet, but at least from the sound of the description, it sounds like it's sort of an interactive while you wait kind of thing. But that's what's new.
Well, from what I remember, about a month ago, they were playtesting some sort of scavenger hunt inside the seas with Nemo and friends.
Yeah, then maybe that would line up nicely, because if you remember, a couple months before they started construction of the new Haunted Mansion queue, they set up some props and did sort of an interactive queue there. Mm-hmm. So they like to play test these things a little bit before they, you know, start them.
Yeah, and it almost... Go ahead, Marcy.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I think an interactive queue for a meet and greet, especially with Ariel, who's going to be really popular since she's not going to be in the Fairy Tale Hall, is a really good idea. Because if it's anything like the other Ariel meet and greet, half of it was outside. And in Florida, especially in the summertime, you know how crazy that can get. Mm-hmm. So with the heat and everything. So I think anything to take your mind off of waiting for an hour and a half is a really good idea.
And it almost sounds like it'll be an alternate queue, if you will. Kind of like what now permanently has been put into signage at the Haunted Mansion, where it's an either-or kind of thing. You can either go through the interactive queue or choose to just go right on to the attraction. This almost sounds like if you want to go ahead and play a little bit. And almost the Pooh queue is almost set up the same way, where you can step off to the side and play for a little while if you want to, and then continue on to the attraction. It sounds like that's the way things are going, especially with now the new signage that's been put up over at the mansion, really directing guests. Do you want the extended queue or the, you know, direct queue, so to speak? So it almost kind of sounds like it'll be that, which is kind of interesting to me. But, you know, time will tell. What I'm really waiting to see is how long until Casey Jr.'s roundhouse breaks. Much like Donald's boat was constantly broken.
That's true. And if you ever, at Epcot, I love the water play areas because half the year they're always behind walls. Yeah. So that's.
I mean, as long as the water play area there is better than the one that was in Pooh's playful spot, which. There were like 12 fountains in the ground, and only one of them shot up more than like 6 inches high.
And they shut them off permanently like 2 years before they got rid of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, when that worked at the beginning, it was fantastic, and kids loved it, and they were running around, and there was plenty of fountains for everybody. So, in later years, it kind of got frustrating because all the kids were trying to stand around this one fountain, which was the only one that worked, so...
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened at Donald's Boat too. I think it's just one of these things that don't either A, don't get maintained very well, or B, not very easy to maintain. Because I think every single time my kids were playing at Donald's Boat, there was some sort of maintenance worker working on some valve somewhere, trying to get a few more jets to work properly. So,
well, water and theme park attractions are a very nasty mix, and they always have been. I think with any park. It's very hard to maintain things with either water effects or that are in water. I mean, look at 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. They got rid of it because it cost so much to maintain because it went through the water.
Yeah.
You know, so that was always a problem. And I mean, even things like Everest, you know, the waterfalls are back now again, but they don't. Sometimes they just stop working. Water destroys things. And you have running water, it's going to do some damage, and every couple months you have to go in and fix things again because of a water feature.
And I'm sure it doesn't help that all of the water play areas have kids and adults stomping on everything all day long.
Yep. Yeah, they get a lot of wear and tear too, those little play areas.
Much like Tigger's bouncy area. Poor Tigger.
That's more like it'll do wear and tear to you.
Yeah.
that's why they've walled it off. Breaking ankles is what Tiggers do best. So, yeah, I these are neat little details. I like that there's something, you know, we're getting more and more of the little details now. We knew what the big attractions were, but now a little more detail about the aerial meet and greet, I guess, if this really is this Scuttle scavenger hunt is really a queue diversion kind of thing. And now the Casey Jr. Roundhouse, just you're getting a better idea, I think, of the scale of this project, that it's not just a big attraction, a restaurant, or a roller coaster, and a new Dumbo. It's a lot more than just that, and we're going to see those details. I think now that we're maybe a year away, maybe a little more than a year away from some of the major components coming online, we're going to start getting details about that stuff. But sticking with Fantasyland, at Destination D, we got a few new little details on some other pieces of new Fantasyland. First up in the Enhanced Show, we'll show you a model of the exterior of Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid. This is the first time we'll really get an up close look at this model. We have seen it from far away in some other pictures before, but some really, really great detail to see there. So show you the first picture is it not painted. The second picture is them actually having it painted and completed that entire model. The next one we're going to show you, we have a model of the Beauty and the Beast realm. The first picture is the very close up of the model of the Be Our Guest restaurant. And the second photo is a far away shot of the overall Beauty and the Beast realm. The next photos we're going to show you are some fine folks at Imagineering working on some of the small details that will be a part of the Be Our Guest restaurant, the lion statues, and just some of the architecture features of the building and the castle and the interior. So you'll see them working on that there. Next up, you're going to see a picture. They revealed new look of the Dumbo attraction. They're not keeping the look of the attraction as it exists now. It's going to have more of a circus theme since it will be in the storybook circus. So you'll see Timothy is no longer in the center of it. Instead, they put some gold storks up there. There's some gold elephants. Overall, just a new circus look to it. And in the picture that follows, you'll see them picking the colors for the Dumbos, the circus colors, and as well sculpting the storks that'll be on top of that. And the next piece you're going to see, we've seen this before, but a little bit clearer, this is the concept art for the Great Goofini, the Barnstormer with the Great Goofini, or any variation of that name we may hear in the next few weeks. It keeps changing. You'll see the entrance there with the giant banner, giant poster for the Great Goofini that he's crashed through with the plane. That'll be the entrance. And as well, you could see one of the Barnstormer trains passing through a big cardboard cutout cloud, very similar to ones they're installing right now on what was Mulholland Madness and will now be Goofy's Sky School out at California Adventure. So that's all the new artwork and pictures of models and things. Someone, Zach, just Zach, you want to tell everybody that? We could say that if you'd like to. No, okay.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's fine. Zach sent me a chat while we're recording here that says the Great Goofini, the adventures continue.
Now in 3D.
Wouldn't it be the Barnstormer, the adventures continue?
No.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm muting again.
Yep. So there you have it. A few new pictures, concept art, some models, some things being worked on for the Fantasyland expansion.
I think it all looks great. I'm excited about it. I'm already planning my trip next year.
It's nice to see that they're at least giving Dumbo a quick refresh. It should give it a new... By giving it a new face, hopefully it'll fit better into the land and not just seem like somebody picked it up out of quote-unquote old fantasy land and dropped it into old... Toontown.
One
old Barnstormer.
That's enough of that. One quick thing I want to mention is you'll see in that, I'll go back to the picture now in the enhanced show. One thing you'll see at the bottom are some white panels at the very bottom of the base of the spinning portion of the ride. Very similar, you know, if you see Cinderella's Cinderella's Golden Carousel. That's not the name anymore. Prince Charming's Regal Carousel. If you look at the panels, they tell the story of Cinderella. Well, for Dumbo, they're going to do something very similar. So now on the panels on the bottom, as you spin around, you could see the story of Dumbo in little illustrated panels, which I think is a nice little touch.
Now, are the Dumbos still going to be outside, or are they going to be inside the tent?
They're going to be outside. You're going to go in through the middle into the interactive queue area, and then there'll be two separate lines. You'll get called to one of the two lines, and they'll come back out.
Okay, so you're just in the tents for the interactive queue and
then
the
you
games.
Come back out for Dumbo. Yeah, Dumbo inside would be kind of...
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was wondering, because when you brought up that they are making it look a lot more circus-like, I was just wondering that, because the big circus scene... in the movie is when Dumbo's actually flying inside the circus. But I think I think the colors are great. I think it definitely would tie into the circus theme a lot better than the current color scheme and design. Even though it's just little enhancements, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to try and stretch any more out of you guys. Let's move on, shall we? I think that's enough about Fantasyland for now. It will certainly be a topic we'll talk about and have already talked about enough. Moving over to Disney's Hollywood Studios, I promise you there's nothing Star Tours. First story.
No Star Tours.
Nope, no more. It's done.
I'm leaving.
Let it be. The Winnie the Pooh meet and greet has opened inside the Magic of Disney Animation. You can now meet Pooh after winding through a storybook with scenes from the upcoming movie. The backdrop for the meet and greet has Pooh's house, Piglet stuck in a beehive, and some other various props from the upcoming film, which, by the way, is in theaters July 15th. Please go see it. Someone needs to.
I'll be there at midnight.
I don't think there's going to be a midnight show.
You'll be waiting a long time, Banks.
Is this the line for Winnie the Pooh? All these people with wands and black cloaks. Anyway.
What do you have against Pooh?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm incredibly excited. I'll probably be the only person in the theater July 15th. But I would hope other people will support hand-drawn animation.
Well, we'll definitely be there. I love hand-drawn animation. I'm sad that it's not as as current, I mean, as relevant as it was before.
Well, the bigger problem is what it's opening up against, which is the final Harry Potter movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, then forget it. But, I mean, we'll definitely be there.
So the meet and greet is open. It's really nice.
Piglet stuck in that beehive kind of disturbs me.
I'm sure it has something to do with the film. It's probably a spoiler. We probably just ruined half the movie, but yeah. It's just
true.
His legs.
That's true, because I don't remember in any of the movies I've seen Piglet stuck in a beehive.
No, it's all stuff from the new film. Like, in the queue, it's all, they give you, like, they look like pages of the book, which is nothing new for Winnie the Pooh-themed stuff in the parks, but it's, you know, pictures from the upcoming film, and even some of the story from the upcoming film written on the pages, so there's even, half the movie, we already know if you've seen the trailer, is they're looking for a new tail for Eeyore. There's some little prop next to Pooh in the meet and greet that says tail, and there's different props there that they might try for Eeyore's tail. So there's little pieces of the new film scattered all over this. But yeah, lifeless Piglet in the beehive is kind of scary.
I think it'd be nice to see some other characters from Winnie the Pooh. You see a lot of Pooh and Eeyore and Tigger at the character breakfast, but I don't ever really see them around.
Yeah, no more Eeyore, really. No more Rabbit. Kanga's very rare. Kanga and Roo, you need to go for Halloween. Is that Halloween or Christmas? Which parade are they in? They're in one of them.
They're in both, I believe.
Are they with that tree in both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. But yeah, the meet and greet's nice. I don't think there's much else to say for it. So we'll move on then. The next meet and greet might bring up a little more conversation. The delayed Phineas and Ferb play and greet at Hollywood Studios finally opened a few days ago. And the experienced guests help the duo in making a movie. And while they wait, smaller guests can help around the set at the direction of director Cletus Fillmore. And Banks Lee, you were on the scene for the first day of that play and greet, so why don't you walk us a little bit through the experience?
Well, it's basically they start to form the line first. First of all, it is continuous meet and greet, so it's not like a certain show time. It starts at 10:30 in the morning, and you get in line. Cletus Fillmore comes out and warms everyone up, talks about Phineas and Ferb and what they're shooting. It's basically they are shooting a movie called We're Making a Movie, The Movie. And it is just they need some pickup shots because they're done with principal photography, so they need pickup shots. And so they have they play the theme song. Phineas and Ferb come out. He's like blow-up air guitars.
So it's like
out.
It's like anyone's wedding, you know, when you go to the party afterwards, they hand out those stupid inflatable instruments.
Right.
That's what you're looking at here.
Right. And they pick kids to, you know, to clap the clapboard saying, you know, Phineas and Ferb, we're making the movie, take one, action. And then once they come out and they start meeting the guests, and while the parents are waiting in line, they will pull the kids out of the line to film some pickup shots of various songs from the series where they dress them up in props according to the song, and then they're able to rejoin their parents back in line. And it's a lot different than the Tangled play and greet, whereas the play with the Tangled one was at the very beginning, then you'd wait in line, whereas this one, all the playing is happening pretty much the whole time while they're waiting in line. It's not like one thing first, then you go meet and greet.
It's not with the main characters, it's with the...
No. The playing is with the director and not with Phineas and Ferb.
Which helps the line, so it's not a bad thing.
It does. The way they, story-wise, they get through that is they say, okay, well, Cletus is like, Phineas and Ferb, we're done with you. We don't need any more shots. So why don't you meet the families and we'll get some pickup shots with some volunteers. The one problem I see in this location-wise is it's right there at the exit, literally at the exit from Muppet Vision 3D. So when a show lets out, you have that mass of people just coming out and they see, oh, meet and greet, and hopping right in line. So that line is going to get very long, very quick at certain times of the day. And that's the one problem I see with it. It's a nice little play and greet for kids and adults who enjoy the Phineas and Ferb show. And I see it being there for a little long, yeah. So I don't know if anyone's seen video or pictures of it yet. So
I have. I just want to say that I'm not a fan of the series, nor am I in the demographic to be a fan of the series. But I will say guest demand has been incredibly high for this, so I'm glad they finally got them in the parks, and they've been popular. It's obviously a very good idea, and maybe Phineas and Ferb will go a little further in the parks after this.
Oh, and for those wondering, Perry the Platypus does not appear. He appears as like a backdrop behind the
cardboard
fence
cutout Perry
that comes up and down, but he as a walk around character does not appear. No. It's just Phineas and Ferb.
So what kind of struck me as odd in this is the last play and greet that came out before this one was, if my memory serves me correctly, was the Rapunzel meet and greet.
It's the only other one we've ever
the only
had.
Other play and greet, right? But there's actually some interaction there between Rapunzel and Flynn and the guests.
Well, they're face characters as opposed to Phineas and Ferb, which are giant trapezoidal head characters.
Understood, but then don't call it a play and greet. Because essentially what it is a meet and greet with an interactive queue.
I sort of think we more gave it the play and greet name. I don't know if it's necessarily a Disney-coined term for this. It might be. But, I mean, there is definitely some playing while people are waiting. It's essentially a low-tech interactive queue.
Right.
Sorry, I was away for a second, so I don't know if y'all were talking. Were y'all talking about Tangled? Because
yes, it's a little bit.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, I don't know if I didn't hear if y'all said they took out the play element for the Tangled meet and greet. It's now just a meet and greet. They took out the dancing and the coloring. Well, actually, no, I think the coloring is still there, but they took out where they come out and dance with you around the table. It's now just they come out and you do a meet and greet.
I think the logistic problem there was they were getting hour-long lines. And 10 minutes of play really don't help the wait.
And I think that was reflecting on Phineas and Ferb, whereas the characters, they come out and then go immediately to play to a meeting and greeting while the playing happens with secondary characters while you're waiting in line so that it moves faster and it's continuous. So it's not like, okay, you have to be there at 10:30 and then there will be another show until 11:30. It's a continuous line.
Please tell me they haven't cut past the Pascal.
No, they haven't.
Oh, yes.
I don't think they cut past the Pascal.
Oh, yes. I'm very happy now.
My kids are a little bit too young for Phineas and Ferb, so we don't watch the show. But I really like the idea of them playing continuously with the kids, even if it's not one of the characters, while other people are meeting the characters. They really enjoyed the Tangled meet and greet, but it was just like Banks said that, you know, we had to show up, you know, 40 minutes early to just be led into the rope to wait again to, you know, circle around the table three times and then wait in line again. Right. So, so to me, I would rather have something like the Phineas and Ferb play and greet, if that's what you want to call it, where, you know, the kids are interacting the whole time they're in line, whereas,
I should specify what the continuous is. Phineas and Ferb are meeting and greeting continuously. Cletus Fillmore, that is only like I think every 30 minutes, because after a little bit he left and it was just a meet and greet and he was just waiting in line to see them. Now I assume he came back later, like 30 minutes later.
Yeah,
and
it probably
did some
does
half stuff.
Hour sets every hour.
Yeah, so his is not continuous, but Phineas and Ferb's meet and greet is continuous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the line keeps moving.
Exactly.
That's true. And even so, it seemed like the kids would enjoy something like that more than circling around the table. I don't get. And plus, when we went, the movie hadn't come out yet. So we were like, what is going on? Why are they dancing around in a circle?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't understand what was going on at that point. And now you said they took it out. I'm kind of happy about that, though, because it didn't really make any sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like I said, the one main problem I see with Phineas and Ferb is it's really bad congestion problem with the exit for Muppet Vision there. There's going to be people that stop and crowd around there. It's going to be really hard to get around there now because that queue.
It's going to be weird to see because that has been a desolate back alley for as long as I can remember.
That queue takes up a lot of area right there. So when those shows let out, it gets insane. It got insane the first day.
Maybe it'll spill over into Lights, Motors, Action.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I doubt
probably
it.
Probably not. Well, Lightning McQueen's coming next week, so hey.
Hey, I get to go. All right.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be cool.
It'll be my yearly visit to the show.
Creates feelings in others they themselves don't understand.
Did they say if the show's going to be the same, it's just Lightning McQueen is just replacing Herbie? Is that the only thing?
It's a new sequence.
So it is, okay.
Action, quote-unquote action sequence with Lightning McQueen and a spy car with a rocket or something like that.
But that'll give us an excuse to go.
Probably not. I love cars, but I'll tell you, they probably can't even get me into that show. But we'll talk about that next time on News and Rumors, since that debuts at a later date. Anyway, talking about cars, they are part of something else, as we're going to move on now. They are part of... What's that?
That's a great segue.
Yes. They are part of Disney's Art of Animation Resort. And at Destination D, we got a long-awaited look at some more details of that resort. So first up, again, if you have the Enhanced show, you're very lucky because you're going to get to see this as we talk about it. If not, you're going to have to find the pictures and somehow follow along. But we'll talk about this. Number one, the first thing we're going to show you is the exterior of the main building for the first time. There you see that new logo is apparently going to be on the building with those sort of animation pages with the text logo over it. And as well, the building is a lot of diamonds of all different colors and sort of a painter's brush stroke going across. And there's some pages with four of the main characters across the front building. There's Lightning McQueen, there's Ariel, there's Nemo, and there's Simba there. So that is the exterior. In the next photo, we're going to head inside to what is the lobby. It's very colorful on one side and black and white on the other. From what Disney has said about the lobby, the story is that this is where the inspiration hits the artist, sort of the beginning of the creative process. And as you move towards your building and your room, that story is going to continue, go from these early sketches to the animated feature. That's what we've been told thus far. The next piece you're going to see is the first look we're getting really at the layout and which buildings are where. So you'll see, if you look very closely, that building labeled 17 is the main building, the lobby and such. Directly behind it are two buildings that are going to be the Finding Nemo buildings. Then to the bottom are going to be the Cars buildings. Meanwhile, above the Nemo rooms in the middle will be the Lion King, and all the way at the top will be those Little Mermaid buildings. So that's the layout. Kind of surprising. I kind of expected the old style buildings to be towards the lobby, but they're not. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We could talk about this now.
Sorry. I was definitely curious about that, and that was something that piqued my interest too when I saw this, because that from this layout, there's no way they can charge preferred room status for any of the traditional style rooms.
I don't think they need to. I don't think the traditional style are going to be just the... They're just there because they have to be.
Yeah. But it would have been interesting because had they just swapped that and Lion King, they would have done that, but then they would have lost capacity too. So, or even just swap that in Cars, they could have gotten some rooms out of it. And just had some more flexibility in the resort. But
well, I guess Mermaid are the buildings that were there already. I guess they started. Yeah. I haven't really looked at the site.
They are
from
the ones
an aerial, but those are the ones that were an aerial view. Haha. I haven't looked. That's so stupid. I haven't looked at the site from that point of view, so I wasn't really exactly certain where the pre-existing buildings were, but I guess they were all the way down there. So that's where the mermaid slash normal old style value rooms will be.
I mean, it's interesting that we're talking about the, you know, preferred location and the extra charge for that, because I'm wondering, I mean, it didn't happen with Pop Century, but I'm wondering whether this resort is going to be priced differently than Pop Century.
I think it will be.
I think it will be, too. And it didn't happen with Pop Century because, first of all, Pop Century was a different location than All Stars. And second of all, it wasn't as compelling of a difference. But I think with Art of Animation, if you have your choice between Art of Animation and Pop Century...
Oh, you're going to pick Animation.
You're going to pick Art of Animation no matter what. So I think just because they can, there's going to be an additional charge for this side of the resort, if you want to call it that or whatever. I think these rooms, for an equivalent sized room over at Art of Animation, I think you're going to pay more than you would pay for at Pop Century. For an equivalent sized room at an equivalent location or distance from the lobby, I think you're going to pay more. And that's just because it's new and it's going to be popular.
And I think that explains something we sort of question. Why Mermaid are the normal rooms? And I think that's because they can then justify charging more because they're going to be in high demand because kids love the Little Mermaid.
Well, and these are and they're going to be put in the same category as the themed rooms like at Caribbean Beach, where they charge more for those, even though they're not in a preferred location. They charge more for those because they're themed. They can say that, well, every room in this resort is themed, so that's why we're charging more. And I think that's how they're probably going to get away with it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple things that you have to look at here, too. The first is that the majority of the resort already has a different price point because they're family suites.
Yeah.
So, you know, three areas, which amounts to, you know, seven buildings, already are significant amount of money more than the Little Mermaid rooms already. So the resort is going to, if it's filled to capacity versus Pop Century being filled to capacity, is going to make more money. And then, you know, the other thing, and we had talked about this, I think, when this first came out, was with the three sets of buildings, or at least I brought it up. I don't know that anybody agreed with me, but with the three buildings having different style entrances and different style rooms, it's almost building out a new type of resort in a way. And for some, you know, some of us will remember when things like Wilderness Cabins were considered a moderate resort. And then all of a sudden, one day, they decided to go off on their own category. And they're no longer included in that because they're in a price point in between. I think they're in between at this point, a moderate and a deluxe, because that keeps changing constantly. So I could see this kind of ending up, I agree with you, Jason, falling into a kind of different category, if you will. Something not quite a moderate, but not quite a value either.
Well, and I think, too, you know, if the plan, if this additional charge for the Art of Animation themed rooms work, then I would assume the plan to go forward to revamp Pop Century as the other half of Art of Animation will probably be put on a fast track. And I think that for two reasons. One is that with all these extra rooms coming online, there's going to be plenty of capacity to shut down part or all of Pop Century. And two, they're going to be able to charge more after they refurb the rooms. So, you know, Pop Century is, you know, you could argue Pop Century is in need of a refurb anyway. And if they're going to be able to charge more after they refurb the rooms, then that's going to pay for itself in 6 months or less. So there's really no reason not to go forward with that plan if these rooms are as popular as we're thinking they're going to be. We've seen them shut down all or big chunks of resorts for refurbishment before, and so I don't see why there would be any problem with them doing that.
Tom, being that you attended the presentation and everything, was there any discussion about the level of theming of these rooms? Like, does it sound like it will be of a higher theming level,
you know, that's,
something closer to a pirate room?
Yeah, that's an excellent point for me to transition on, because we have photos we're going to show in a few moments of inside all of the rooms. So then we can decide if you think that puts it at another level or not. So let's move on, and we'll come back to that as we get to those room theming photos. So the next photo I have in order here is, this is the layout of the Nemo area. So these are the three Nemo buildings. Oh, actually, two Nemo buildings, excuse me. They're right behind the lobby. That's the lobby building all the way on the left. Nemo area has a pool. There's a water play area. There's some other little exhibits there between their two buildings, as you'll see from that overhead shot. We then move on to the next picture, which shows you, really for the first time, a whole look at what the buildings look like, and confirm number one what we said before is that they do not have the entrances to the rooms are inside. So these are completely new building layouts. So your windows will look out into either outside the resort or inside to the themed play area, which I imagine will be your preferred versus your normal. I think if you have a normal room, you will face out of the resort into essentially nothing. And I assume
parking
if you,
lot.
Yeah, I assume if you're preferred, parking lot or lake, I assume if you get preferred, you will be looking into the water play area, the pool, and all the cool little themed stuff that will be in the middle. And you'll see the inside of the resort keeps the theme of the movie. The outside face is sketches and the artwork that goes into these films. So, yes, hand sketches for Finding Nemo, a Pixar animated film. Just a fun note. Now, I'm sure they have to sketch characters out before they start the movie, but it's still kind of funny to see the sort of drawing process on a computer animated film.
Well, maybe they're more like storyboards.
That's true. Could be. Although they said character sketches at the presentation.
Oh, that's true.
I would agree with you, though, that the storyboards would have been a better idea, I think. But it's still, it's a cool idea that the outside of the resort keeps the, you know, you'll see that on the outside of the resort, sometimes they look like giant, like, notepads where they just doodled little drawings for the film. And you'll see that in the next one where we see the interior with Crush and the exterior with Dory and Squirt. Now we have a picture of some of the room interiors for the Nemo rooms. You'll see there's the bed, which looks like where Nemo lives, and Anemone. There's jellyfish lamps. There's all kinds of crazy things going there. There's, of course, the bed that folds out of the folds over, essentially, what is the table, the dining table. And there is just a lot of detail there. So, Justin, if you'd like to now... make your point, you can go ahead.
I guess my point is, and without seeing the rooms in person, it's really almost difficult to do this. But
I mean, you could see the level of detail,
yeah,
which definitely is higher than a... not that they're unthemed at Pop Century or All-Star, but it certainly is at a slightly higher level, at least for what you're seeing here.
All right, let's be blatantly honest for a second. They're virtually unthemed at Pop Century.
Yeah.
I mean, there's... they're nice rooms. I mean, especially after the latest enhancements that they've done to those rooms, new carpet.
All-Star is unthemed too. If it wasn't for the stars on everything, yeah.
Yeah.
It's themed to the stars.
It's All-Star.
Or the movies. Yeah. Buildings, I mean, are probably the most heavily themed of any of the
buildings. The rooms, not necessarily.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not a far jump to more heavily theme a room than an existing value. The question is, and you saw this stuff in person, not just in small pictures, do you think it's on the level of a pirate room at Caribbean Beach?
Between. I think it's going to be a new level, and I think we talked about this last time. It's going to be a new level between the value level and the moderate level. I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be right in the middle there.
Be very, very interested to see the pricing when this stuff comes out, because
it's going
to
be higher.
Yeah,
we know that much.
Oh yeah, and like I said, I mean, if the resort's already positioned to make a heck of a lot more money because of the suites, so there's no reason to think that they wouldn't spread.
But the mermaid rooms, despite being all, you know, the old style rooms, are still going to be more.
Do you think these themed family suites are going to be priced at a higher point than the themed rooms at the moderates, like the royal rooms now that are coming out?
That is a Justin question, because I don't even actually know the price point what is the price point on the ones at All-Star?
So, you know, everything now, especially with holidays being priced differently, everything, the pricing is wacky for resorts as it is right now. It's not very easy to decipher. But the rule of thumb right now that I can kind of give everybody is a value suite, a family value suite, is more than twice a normal value room. So if a value room is priced at $99 per night, the family suite will be more than $200.
And what is a family suite supposed to hold? How many?
It holds six individuals. And I believe that's six over 3-year-old people plus one infant in a crib, because everything always gets plus one infant in a crib. So I believe it could hold up to a family of 7. But it has the reason why they've justified the price, because it has a little kitchenette and some other and a separate room. So,
well, it's also much. It's essentially 2 rooms.
It is 2 rooms, right? So you're paying double.
So you right. should be paying yeah. double.
Well, I mean, you're getting twice the square footage. You're yeah. not sleeping twice as many people, but you're getting twice the square footage for twice yeah. the price, which is reasonable.
Right. So, but many guests have said, well, I'd rather just get 2 adjoining value rooms because I don't care about the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I can sleep 8. You know, because 2 adjoining value rooms is 4 per room.
Well, but here's the thing. If you have 8 people to sleep, then that makes sense. If you have 6 people to sleep, you can't do it in 1 room anyway. You got to get 2. So if you're only right. sleeping 6 people, why not get 2 rooms and get the extra space of the second one with the kitchenette and everything?
I mean, what is the Nickelodeon suites? Are they identical in the number of people they hold? And is that the norm for the industry?
You're asking about the Nickelodeon suites.
Well, that's because that's what this is in direct response to, is Nickelodeon built those family suites
right
off property and stole a fair amount of Disney's business. And that's why Disney said, hey, let's do those.
Yeah, that I don't know. I could look up, but I would imagine
it's a norm through the industry. I don't think Disney is going to innovate room type.
No, especially not when they're taking 2 regular rooms and just cutting out a wall. No.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to innovate room types with theme, you know, in a DVC and stuff like that, but yeah. not in a value resort.
No, it'll be a double room. I mean, they're doing stuff a little different as far as furnishing. There's this table bed thing that they're doing that's not in the other one.
Right. So it's, I mean, I don't know. They'll probably play with pricing on here until they figure out what the market will bear. And what the market will bear is different in different seasons, and it may change yeah. over the course of the first year that it's open. So, I don't think we can really predict a lot. But
Other than more than what the All-Star Suites are.
Yeah, these suites are going to be more than the All-Star Suites, and the regular rooms are going to be more than the Pop Century or All-Star regular rooms. I think we can pretty much go that far with a fair amount of certainty. But beyond that, and how they compare to rooms at the moderates and things, I don't know if we can get that far.
Yeah, it typically depends. Just to briefly answer Marcy's question, the original question that kind of skirted around it. Typically, it depends on how many people you have and where your value lies. And a family suite is very close to a moderate in pricing. Typically, just to give you a general idea, standard room at a value at All Star Music during a regular week in February costs $105 a night. A preferred room will cost $120 a night, and a family suite costs $245 a night. You need to want a kitchen and some of the other amenities, and some guests just want a separate room,
yep.
Because they want to stick the kids in a bedroom, close the door, and be able to watch TV at night. I kind of disagree here at Walt Disney World. Go do something, but some people want to decompress at the end of the day and watch TV.
People want to leave their kids there and go to pleasure. Oops. Anyway, I'm going to continue. We'll discuss this more. I'm going to continue with some more of the artwork we have. Next one you're going to see is the Cars Courtyard setup. And that, of course, Cars does have 3 buildings, and they have a pool in the middle, and there'll be a winding path through the middle and all sorts of fun little things in there. And the next one you're going to see is the look at the exterior of the Cars buildings, which, of course, have the backdrop of Radiator Springs, Ornament Valley, and all that going on in the background. The next one you'll see, actually, one of the buildings has an entrance, which is the motel, which is prominently featured in the film. The next thing you're going to see is a look at the interiors, my personal favorite, of the Cars-themed rooms, which all of them are themed as if you were staying at the Cozy Cone Motel.
These are your favorite?
Well, Cars is my favorite movie, but I think out of all the themes, the fact that Cars has a hotel you can draw from And they did, and everything in the room is cone-shaped. There's cone lamps, and the headboard is two sets of cones, and it's just really cool. It just really, it's easy to sell as a hotel room when you have a hotel room from the film to draw off of.
Yeah, it's I like the cone theme, but it's brown. Like, the room is brown.
It's Route 66.
I know, but it's brown. I mean, if you we just did a car theme room for our two-year-old son, and it's so much brighter than that. I mean, obviously, but, you know, if you think of all the colors in that movie, brown? I mean, really? Brown? I don't know. I guess if you, when you're going with a cone-themed room, you have to be, like, an orangey brown. So
I like it. It's rustic. It's wood. I mean, the bed, the table slash bed is wood-themed, and it's a rustic feel. It's, again, it's inspiration from the film. Anyway, since I always get attacked for car stuff, we'll move on.
I like cars.
I don't know. I always get car bashed, so... Anyway. Next, we have the Lion King courtyard setup. Lion King is two buildings. There is no pool area. There's a themed winding path through the middle. Of course, you've seen the concept art before. We'll show that now. The theme path, you walk under the fallen tree where Timon, Pumbaa, and Simba are walking across, and there's the elephant graveyard and all that stuff going on. And next, you're going to see the look of the Lion King building exteriors, which has a lush jungle. Makes sense. Also, one of them has Pride Rock in the middle as well as the entrance to the building. After that, you're going to see now the interior of the Lion King rooms, which these are really cool as well. These are themed to the I Just Can't Wait to Be King sequence, at least the bed area. They have Zazu in that bed of flowers or whatever that is that Simba gets caught on his head. And as well, I love the shower curtain is Timon and Pumbaa splashing around in a watering hole, which I thought was kind of cool. Also, there's the... table slash bed has a butterfly theme. Again, the butterflies appear in that musical sequence as well. Next up, we've got the Little Mermaid courtyard, which does have a pool. That's three buildings, and those all have the old-style value rooms. And as you can see, if you look very closely, each building is going to have its own giant character, also very reminiscent of the Pop Century and All-Star, where there's some giant icon near the entrance to the building. We know one is King Triton. It looks like from the sky and from some of the other artwork here, Ursula will be another one. I imagine Ariel will be the third one, but we can't be certain. It's not easy to see from here. It could be some other character. And following that, you are going to see the interior of the mermaid rooms with the twin beds and some of the characters appearing. You got Sebastian and Flounder on the wall there. And as well, the shower curtain has Ariel on it.
And none of the mermaid rooms are going to be family suites, right?
Nope.
It's too bad.
So that is what we have seen thus far for Art of Animation. Any other points to be made? Nothing?
Nope. You know, I think this is going to be a pretty neat resort when it opens. You know, Pop Century was rather popular when it first opened just because people wanted to see something new. And, you know, although its popularity may have waned since it opened, I think that Art of Animation is probably going to not suffer the same fate just because it's much more themed to something that kids could like. And I mean, for the most part, the value resorts certainly are marketed towards, you know, families with kids who may not be able to afford to stay in one of the more expensive hotels because of the simple reason they have kids. And so this is a much more kid-friendly resort than Pop Century is. And in fact, it's probably much more kid-friendly than All-Star Sports, unless your kid is into sports. You know, All-Star Movies and Music are kind of themed towards the Disney movies to some extent. So,
or at least things that are popular. Like, I don't know of, you know, I don't think the group that enjoys surfing is large enough to support as many buildings as it has in the sports resort.
But. No, well, and I mean, you know, you've got a Fantasia section in.
Movies has always been very popular in it.
Right. Movies has been,
I think, so long to figure out.
To make a whole resort out of it, which is essentially what they're doing. Yeah. So, you know, I think this is going to be pretty popular. When it opens, and I think its popularity is going to stay for a while, which is, like I said earlier, why I think they're going to go ahead with the revamp of Pop into the second half of Art of Animation, just because
I think it's an Pop evergreen,
is going to suffer.
Yeah, it's an evergreen theme. I mean, these franchises don't, you know, Disney is masterful at keeping franchises alive.
Yes, and the cell phone and the Rubik's Cube franchises, maybe not so much.
Yeah, but the Disney, I mean, that's why you go to Disney World. For many people, it's a lot of it's the characters and the,
sure,
you know, the films. And now you can stay at a fair price compared to, you know, like the pirate rooms and even the princess rooms that are coming and other things that are, you know, coming down the pipeline. This will be the value alternative if you want to have your kids stay in their favorite film.
Yep.
Just because I say it every time we talk about this resort, I'm still very curious to see what the busing situation turns out to be, because that will.
Well, I'm at, you know,
one of the few advantages, although depending on who you talk to, it's a disadvantage of Pop right now is that it has its own bus. But I tend to think it is short lived and
it'll be no different than
the All Stars.
Than the All Stars. No,
I've stayed at All Star Sports a lot, second only to Grand Floridian. I'll say. I have never had a problem with the buses at All-Star. They get a little crowded, but they run more of them.
Yeah, the problem with the buses, actually, the problem isn't really the buses at sports. The problem is the buses at movies, because
you're in the middle.
Because you're the last to get on.
Yeah.
So the buses can be completely full before they even get to movies, and that's really the problem. But, you know, when Art of Animation opens, Art of Animation plus Pop is going to have the same number of rooms if they weren't family suites. It'll actually have less rooms, so it'll actually be a smaller resort capacity-wise than the three All-Stars combined. The layout and the footprint will be the same, but because the family suites sleep six instead of eight. In the two equivalent rooms, you're going to have a lower capacity. So I see no reason why Pop and Animation are not going to share a bus, and especially if they close down parts of Pop to remodel it, then certainly there's going to be no problem sharing a bus there, because that's not even going to be at capacity.
It'll be interesting
Sure.
What's more interesting to me actually is the setup of the resort access via the roadways. Because in order to get to Art of Animation, you've got to drive all the way around the lake and past all of Pop Century to even get close
there
to Art of Animation.
There is a second gate, though.
Well,
they could just reconfigure the security gate.
Yeah, the question is, are they going to turn that second gate into an actual second gate, or is that going to be like a bus-only entrance sort of thing, which it could very well be, too. So
if the other side's going to get converted anyway, I mean, it'll be just like, you know, All-Star, there's that one road that goes past all three of them.
Right. But it doesn't circle around one to get to the next. I mean,
it doesn't have to, but it's essentially the same thing. It's just a longer road.
It is. I don't know. I think it wasn't the most convenient setup, so I'll be interested to see what they do. But that's a bit of the way down the road, too. So.
Well, we're less than a year away, May 2012, grand opening Art Animation. So something else to look forward to other than Fantasyland. And with that, that's going to do it for this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that will do it for episode 197 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. You make the show possible and worth producing each and every week. It's now time for the big finish, giving you all the useful information you'll need to know in the coming week. Contact us here at the show with any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns. You can email us at wdwnewstoday@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail message at 206-666-2982. If you have not done so already, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's a great way to let others know about the show. Don't forget to visit the entire WDWNT network online, and you can do that at wdwnt.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, and you can do that at twitter.com/WDWNT. Make me a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWNT. And as well, you can like our fan page at facebook.com/WDWNT Network. Just a quick reminder that on June the 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on WDWNTunes.com, we are celebrating the one-year anniversary with the return once again of See You Real Late with Tom Corliss, our late night talk show. Some great guests, a lot of fun, a special 10 p.m. start time. Again, that's June 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, wdwntunes.com. Coming up on next week's episode of this podcast, episode 198, we will continue our countdown of the 40 biggest moments in the history of the Walt Disney World Resort. All that and more next week. Since I just previewed next week's show, that means that this week's show is officially over, and I can end it with the corniest catchphrase in all of podcasting. That's gonna do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
Thank you for listening to the WDW News Today podcast. Be sure to tune in again next week as we continue to bridge the gap between you and the world. Also, don't forget to visit the entire WDWNT network online at wdwnt.com. This is Brian Summer saying goodnight and have a pleasant tomorrow.